The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, the Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are reviewing the Survivor and Neutral cards in Devil Reef, the second Mythos pack in the Innsmouth Conspiracy cycle. There are spoilers throughout, if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. A quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between receive a +1, +0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these player card reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. The first Survivor card in the pack is Butterfly Effect. It is a free event that costs one experience point. It has a wild skill icon, the Paradox Blessed and Cursed traits. It is fast. You play when a chaos token with a symbol is revealed during a skill test at your location. Before resolving its effect, you or the performing investigator may either commit a card to this skill test or return a card they committed to this test to their hand. Again, here we have another blessed card for Father Mateo. The effect on this is similar to that of the reaction on Silas Marsh, the survivor investigator in this cycle. It does give an investigator a chance to succeed after a bad pull. If you happen to pull a -4 and you are only +2, then you have a chance to commit another card to this, to the skill test and pass. It also gives you the opportunity to pull a card back. Say if you do, you commit a +2 and then you draw a bless token and you're like, well, a bless and say a plus or a -1 or something like that. And you're like, well, I don't need this skill card anymore. So I'll pull it back to my hand and save it for another skill test. That all said, I'm not really crazy about this card. I just it's not really the type of card that I would include in my deck, largely because it feels like I'm simply exchanging this card for the card that for another card. And while I do really like while Salas Marsh's reaction is really good, that's permanent. So having sort of a transient effect like this isn't crazy compelling for me. I mean, perhaps there's a deck that you could play, perhaps Preston with the Crystallizer of Dreams or something like that, where you could use this and then say you play this, then you get to stack it on the Crystallizer and then use it for its wild skill icon later. Something like that might be possible, but yeah, not a very compelling card for me, despite its value.
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I think the decks that would want a card like this don't need a card like this because they can already function well enough as it is. Like, failing the occasional skill test, I don't think is really worth putting 2 experience worth of cards into your deck. Like, what are you going to take out of your level 0 deck for this card? And then I think your experience could be better spent elsewhere.
Yeah, I think the only way I would want to play a card like this is if I had a lot of really high impact, probably skills, since you're usually they have the biggest impact when they're committed to skill tests. And say if you commit a really big skill card to a test and then either it's unnecessary because you were going to pass the test anyway, or you have the prospect of failing the test because of the token you pulled, then a card like this might be useful. But I just, when I was trying to think of a skill that I would be like, man, I can't lose this skill to this test, I couldn't come up with one that I was just like, yeah, I really need to
the
save.
only th- Yeah, the only thing I could think of is if you were playing some sort of combo deck with Double or Nothing, like if you weren't using the taboo list and you wanted to make sure that that card fired, then maybe this card is useful to you, but I think it's very specific in the deck that would want a card like this, and I don't think the things that you're doing are like normal investigator type value plays, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I sort of, I think you made a good point that I think a card like this is sort of, you're saying to yourself, well, I'm never going to fail skill tests, and you are going to fail some skill tests during a scenario, and is it worth negating one of those potentially negating one of those failures, or saving a skill card just because, and I don't think it's worth the card for that. So,
Yeah, I don't either. Like you said, that you'd have to have a lot of really high value skill cards that you'd want to make use of for this card to be worth exchanging for that other card.
yeah. Now, how would this work with what's that mystic one? The from Innsmouth. I always forget the name. The one that adds a curse token.
Promise of Power.
Promise of Power, like maybe that if you committed that you're already adding a curse token, then you would be able to pull it back with this and then add another curse token and get the four wild icons. Something like that might be worthwhile, but even then I'm not convinced that I would be all that heartbroken if I failed a skill test with that on the table, or easily passed a skill test with that on the table.
Yeah, the only thing I could really think of is something like Vicious Blow. A cut like a card that you play specifically to succeed with, but yeah, Promise of Power is just a card that you play because it has a lot of icons on it.
Yeah.
So
So, how would you rate this one?
I would give it an Elder thing. It's very niche in what it does, and the decks that are going to want to include it are generally not the types of decks that I like to play, so.
I think I'm gonna give this one a zero. I think somebody might be able to make use of it. But that somebody is probably not going to be me, but I think it's this to me is like a card that you could play, and I can see how it would be useful, but
Yeah, like I can too. Like I could see a situation where you try to like fail a skill test with a take heart and then you trade this card for a take heart. But it's just so few and far between, and you kind of have to set those situations up for yourself.
Yeah, perhaps this would have been better if it had not cost experience points. Like you said, like what are you taking out of your deck to include this in? And I'm not too sure what the answer to that question would be. So
Yeah, like you kind of have to have this in mind when you build your deck, right? Like you can't just kind of include this card.
true,
So,
true. Yeah, so
okay.
maybe it is an elder thing in the end. It's hard to with some of these cards, it's just very hard to rate them because they're sort of, I think we've encountered that a lot with this pack where they're sort of, you could play them, but they're generally not as powerful as other options that exist, or they're so niche that you really have to build a deck around them in order to get any sort of value from them. The second survivor card in the pack is Third Time's a Charm. It is a one cost event that costs 2 experience points. It has willpower, combat, and agility skill icons and the spirit trait. It is fast. You play when a skill test at your location begins. Twice during this test, when an investigator reveals a chaos token, they may cancel it, return it to the chaos bag, and reveal a new chaos token. This is one of the other cards that was spoiled in the preview article. It is an option for survivors and all of the off-class survivors, such as Agnes, Min, Preston, and Tommy. You get to, if you play this card, you could potentially cancel 2 negative tokens, each test. Those tokens do go back in the bag, however, so there is a chance that you could draw triple negative four and still fail. Alternatively, you can use this to fish for bless or curse tokens or elder signs to trigger other effects, and I think that's probably where this card is going to see most of its play in those sorts of decks that are looking for a specific type of token. And having a couple more bites at the apple is never a bad thing. Unfortunately, like I said, the token is returned to the bag, so it doesn't necessarily improve your odds of drawing the token you want by thinning out the bag, say if the token was set aside and then you pull again.
It also costs 2 experience too. Again, like this is one of those cards that, like, what are you gonna take out to include this in your deck? And I'm not really high on a card like this personally. I tend to not like these types of cards that are essentially like ensuring you pass a particular skill test, which is, I think, kind of the theme with this pack for survivors. And I'm just okay with failing the occasional skill test. So cards like this aren't very appealing to me personally.
Yeah, I don't think this is the type of card that I would be reaching for in my decks, but I guess if I was playing an Agnes deck that was playing with the new suite of mystic spells, perhaps I might consider this as an option if I was fishing for curse tokens, given that she doesn't really have a lot of great ways to add them. But then again, why would you be playing those cards if you don't have the ways to add them? So you're sort of, yeah, I guess if you probably want to pack the bag with as many of those tokens as you want, as you can. And so having a card that is attempting to fish for one of those for 2 experience points is a pretty big ask. And 2 is quite a bit for survivors, considering they have so few that are cost more than 3.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of other off-class survivors that would consider a card like this probably just have better options.
So how would you rank this card?
I'm kind of inclined to give this the auto fail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't like this card. I don't like it.
I don't think I'm prepared to go that far down. I was sort of somewhere between 0 and Elder Thing, but the more I think about it, the more I'm leaning towards Elder Thing, just because if you want to draw bless or curse tokens, you've probably stuffed enough of them in the bag that you don't need a card like this. And if you're just sort of, like, I mean, and I think this is something we've discussed in the past, how the tokens themselves aren't that impactful unless you are attempting to build or leverage them for other effects. So just sort of fishing around in the bag for a bless token or a curse token is not, I don't think that's a position you really want to be in when you're playing.
Yeah, and if you're trying to use third time's a charm to pass a skill test, like, I think you're better off playing Butterfly Effect, personally.
So a rare auto fail in this pack for third time's a charm. Not quite prepared to go to be that hard on it, but yeah, I don't think this is a card that I'm going to be reaching for. These sorts of manipulation effects sort of fall flat with me, but I could understand why somebody would want to play it. The final card in the pack is a neutral card. This is Manipulate Destiny, a 1 cost event that costs 2 experience points. It has a wild skill icon and the spell trait. You reveal a token from the chaos bag until you reveal a curse, auto fail, bless, or elder sign token. If you revealed a curse or auto fail token, deal 2 damage to an enemy at your location. If you reveal a Bless or Elder Sign token, heal 2 damage from an Investigator or Ally asset at your location. This action does not provoke attacks of opportunity. This was the final card that was spoiled in the FFG's preview article. It's got the spell trait, so it synergizes with a ton of cards that use that. This card's value went up significantly when Favor of the Moon and Favor of the Sun were spoiled in the Lair of Dagon, since you can basically get a Curse or Bless token on demand. Seekers and Rogues would probably use this card to be dealing damage, while Guardians and Survivors will be likely using it to heal, while Mystics can go either way depending on the type of build. What do you think about this card, Nate?
So I actually tried this out in a Sister Mary build. I was doing both Curse and Bless tokens with her, and I found this card to be pretty useful. It was much less useful in a deck like that, where it's kind of random which effect you get. But I think in a focused deck where you can kind of pretty reliably trigger one of the effects, I think you're going to be pretty pleased with this card overall. The fact that you reveal tokens until you get one or the other is great. It's just a nice, consistent way to either deal damage or heal damage if that's what you're looking for in your deck. And the fact that it doesn't provoke attacks of opportunity is nice too. So,
yeah, it's for one resource, dealing 2 damage is pretty good, or healing 2 damage is pretty good. Healing tends to be quite labor intensive and requires you to be playing assets and whatnot a lot of the time, and this lets you heal for one, as long as you've got enough bless token, or at least as long as you got a bless token in the bag. Actually, you don't even need a bless token. You can play this I think this is one of those rare cards you were talking about. Like, most of these cards with the bless and curse mechanic don't interact with the rest of the card pool, and this one you can play it without the bless or curse mechanic, since it triggers off of auto fails and elder signs as well. So this is one of the rare cards in the pack where bless and curse tokens are part of it, but you don't necessarily need them.
Yeah, and it can also heal allies too, which is becoming more and more useful in the Guardian card pool, specifically with cards like Greta Wagner that we got in the Nathaniel Cho starter deck. That, or Agency Backup, or Guard Dog. Those are all pretty good options to be able to heal as well, so that's a nice little boon for it as well. I think I would rate this card at a 0? Maybe a +1. It's pretty good. I think 2 experience is a little much for it, but it is good.
Yeah, I think I'm willing to go +1. I think I'm willing to go +1 on this one. I like the fact that you don't necessarily need bless or curse tokens in order to pick this one up. It is a bit expensive at 2 at 2 XP, but I think if you were playing spells, like if you are playing a spell deck that has a lot of those synergies, throwing a copy of this in there is going to be pretty nice as well. And I do like this one. I guess the one downside is that since it does trigger off of auto fails or elder signs, that again, it is somewhat random as to what, if you're not playing any bless or curse tokens, you're still sort of subject to that randomness. Am I going to deal 2 damage to an enemy, or am I going to get to heal? I guess that's up to destiny.
Yeah. It's kind of why I'm leaning more towards a 0, just because I can specifically think of one instance where I was trying to deal 2 damage and I drew an elder sign. I was like, well, not exactly what I was looking for, but I think it's decent. If you're playing a Curse or Bless deck, I think this card is worth including in your deck.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm satisfied with a +1. If you're playing either a Bless or Curse deck, then you're probably going to pick this card up. If you're not, its value probably drops a little bit because its reliability is going to take a bit of a hit, since you are subject to that randomness. But still, I mean, dealing 2 direct damage without taking a skill test, or healing damage without having to go through the rigmarole of playing an asset and then taking an action to trigger that asset is pretty nice. And the fact that it doesn't provoke attacks of opportunity either. So if you are in the heat of the battle and you need to, if your life depends on having a couple more health, either on you or an ally, then this is pretty deep, that you're going to be happy that you have this card.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about this pack overall, Nate?
Overall, I think this pack is really quite a mixed bag. The Curse and Blessed Oath overall, I think, is definitely the highlight of the pack, but a lot of the other cards felt fairly mediocre to borderline duds to me.
Yeah, I know when I was going through my notes preparing for this, it was hard to get excited about a lot of the cards. While it's nice to have Keen Eye Zero and Blood Pact Zero in the card pool, I mean, at this point, they're known entities. And so not too exciting there. The Truth Beckons, again, it's another one of those movement events. It's kind of like, well, we've already got really good movement events. Under Surveillance, you read the attached to a location and your heart kind of sinks a little bit because you know that this isn't going to work out as well as you'd hoped. And a lot of cards where it's just sort of like, yeah, I mean, you can play it, but there's probably better options out there for your deck. And so just sort of not a lot to get excited about in this pack for me. And I sort of feel like we're going to see some future packs. I know, like, when they spoiled Lair of Dagon, they spoiled the 3 talents that we're getting. And I mean, again, those are, we sort of expected that we would get them, but they're known quantities. And so that's like almost a third of the pack that is not going to be all that interesting. So I hope this isn't a bellwether for what is going to happen in Horror and High Gear, the Lair of Dagon, or a light, or I guess the next 4 packs that we have, that we're going to sort of see some possibly exciting Bless and Curse cards, and then some rather pedestrian non-Bless and Curse cards.
Yeah, that was kind of my fear going into this campaign as a whole when they first initially unveiled Curse and Bless. Was just, like, I think it's been stated multiple times throughout various content creators, but this is the only chance that they get to make and print any of these cards, so, you know, like, most of the packs are going to be monopolized with these Bless and Curse cards. So if you don't like that sort of mechanic, then I guess kind of too bad, because a lot of the other cards have felt fairly underwhelming. So,
well, we will be seeing Horror in High Gear here, I believe, since we are recording this on New Year's Day, we will be seeing that by the end of the week, I suspect, or the end of next week, I should say. Mm-hmm. And then we will be back with that review when that pack drops.
Would you say we'd be kicking that review into high gear?
We will definitely kick that review into high gear.